Russia, Travel Moment 68. St. Petersburg is the second largest city in Russia, and it is on the Gulf of Finland on the Baltic Sea. In 1914, the name of the city was changed from St. Petersburg to Petrograd, and in 1924 to Leningrad, and in 1991 back to St. Petersburg. I visited the city when it was known as Leningrad, and I was going there with a French group from Paris, France, for the Winter Festival of the Arts. We were traveling by train across a good part of Western Russia, from Moscow, and would be moving throughout the night. As I was the only single male in the group, I met my train room mate, a corporal in the Russian army, just as we were pulling out of the station. In uniform, I suspected that he was there because I was there. This was Russia at a time when not a lot of freedom existed. The ride was interesting, and I was seeing rural Russia. Among other oddities, I was astounded at the number of television aerials there were on log houses. I later found out that these were radio antennas, signifying a different economy. As we each had a lower bunk, the upper ones weren't necessary. Our cabin for four was quite okay for two of us. I presumed that we would now bed down. My roommate had other intentions. He pulled out a bottle of vodka and thrust it out to me. I think he said, "Drink." I realized that it was only polite that I join him, and we became comrades with booze. No common language existed. I may have been able to say please and thank you in Russian. As might be expected, as we neared the bottom of the bottle, my friend the corporal now wanted to argue. He was describing Cuba, a word that I understood. He was also saying something about America. This was followed by the sound of a blast or an explosion. He repeated his story until I understood. The Russians, if they felt like it, could at any time blow up the United States. I wasn't going to argue the point. I couldn't if I tried. I didn't speak any Russian. Instead, I made up my own symbols. I used my hands to connote the body of a curvilinear woman. This was followed by me holding out my hand to show a short child. Da, which is Russian for yes, was followed with the curving motion and the holding out of hands for short children. I repeated it with his sound of an explosion. The corporal, obviously well-trained in all things military, looked at me, and tears ran down his face. He shook his head feverishly to the negative, with accompanying Russian words. He repeated himself. He shook my hand with great emotion. We went to bed and slept. The next morning, as we readied ourselves for the train station terminal, my corporal friend repeatedly held his one finger to his lips, a symbol that we seemed all to use. Shh, as in, please don't tell anybody about our conversation. He again shook my hand and made the symbol of a woman and a child with his. He communicated, "No explosion," as a sound. I hope I let him know that I had found a friend in uniform, a Russian soldier trained to shoot me and others, but a family man like many of us. Travel Moment 69. Since the reign of Catherine the Great, the circus has played an important role in the traditions of Russia. I was visiting their 10-day annual Festival of the Arts, and the circus is regarded as an art form on par with the ballet or the opera. It is thought of as a showcase for highly skilled and creative artists. I attended the Old Moscow Circus, founded in 1880, and it was billed as the most respected and loved circus in Russia. There is sometimes an advantage in traveling as a single person. In this case, I was joined by a Russian brigadier general and his young family. As they sat beside me, they would make it very clear that they were proud of their Russian circus. The significance of this encounter is that not only was the brigadier general in full uniform, but he wanted his family, consisting of a boy about 12 years old and a girl about 10 years old, to meet me. He spoke French, so we could communicate. We laughed together and enjoyed the Bears playing hockey. His wife made it clear that she understood that as a Canadian, I knew hockey. Through her husband, the general, she made the joke that probably our Canadian Bears don't play the game. We had a great time. It was at the peak of the Cold War for the rest of the world, but not so much for us in the real world. As the circus ended and I was about to shake hands as we parted, they decided that we should all hug instead. It was a great Russian moment.